You're listening to Sounds Good. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte is with me in Studio A and on the phone. We welcome Stephen Bauer, Hopkins County's Pride Avenue fourth grade teacher. Stephen, thanks for taking some time to speak with us this morning.
Stephen, you have initiated a service for the teaching profession that I want to let our listeners know right off the bat that you can find what Stephen is doing at edvice, E-D-V-I-C-E, podcast.com. And you've also got a Facebook page. But tell me, as a fourth grade teacher, what got under your skin and initiated your belief that an advice for educators online, easily accessible, dealing with practical issues in the classroom would be a good idea?
Well, you know, first of all, I'd like to preface this by saying I learned a lot about the pedagogy, the art of teaching in college, but there were just so many things that I've encountered in retrospect that I didn't learn about. It all began, I received a letter from a parent, and this was from the parent of a student that I had really advocated for, given supplies to, and just loved having in my classroom. Well, the parent wrote me a pretty nasty letter about their child not bringing homework home, and just had a real rude tone to it, kind of questioned my teaching practices, and it just got under my skin. And, of course, my first reaction was to call that parent right away. And do you have any idea how many hours I spend developing these lessons and differentiating instruction? And do you realize that I give the students the last 20 minutes of the day to work on homework? Some get zero support at home. But I didn't. I calmed down and I thought, man, you know, I really wish that I had learned how to deal with this scenario in college. But I didn't learn about it, and that's okay. So I sent out a survey with the support of my principal, Miss Saint, at Pride Avenue. I sent out a survey, and there were some topics that came back from teachers that ranged anywhere from building relationships to how to handle gossip in the teacher's lounge and how to recognize even the cultural divide that can exist between white teachers and African-American students, things that there isn't necessarily a class for, but would have helped me tremendously had I learned it.
You know, this what you're talking about almost reminds me of paralegals learning how to navigate the court systems, because new attorneys come out of law school not really knowing how to do that. You know, they know the law, but they don't know the practical aspects of being in the trenches. And I think you're talking about the same thing in the teaching profession.
Right. Well, there really is no experience or no teacher-like experience. And I can vividly remember my first day of teaching, gone to school for 4 years, graduated, and then I shut the door behind me, and it was like, okay, now what? You know, I've learned all this stuff. Now what do I do with it? So you're exactly right.
Well, I love the way you've organized the messages in short bits. It seems to me that the ones I listened to were about 7.5 minutes to 10 minutes. And some were longer visits with people whom you respect in the profession to get specific advice. And I'd like to talk about those in a minute. But back to this parent thing. I listened to one of your pieces that said that you realized that it made a lot of sense to call each parent monthly with positive news about the kids and create the relationships that way so that when a parent had a problem, you already had a relationship before something like you just described happened.
Oh, you're exactly right. It is my personal belief that relationships really are the cornerstone of a, not just a successful classroom, but a successful life, if you think about it. Our relationships with our family and with our coworkers and with our students and with our students' parents, if you can build on a foundation of positive experiences, relationships, then that just, it goes so, so far. Now, the instance you're speaking about, so many parents are used to answering the phone and saying, oh, great, what did Johnny do now, you know, or they just ignore the phone call altogether. But if you can start by making those monthly phone calls and letting them have good experiences, not only will it make them more likely to answer the phone, but those times that there are problems, opening those lines of communication will go a long way in getting support from the parents.
I also loved the idea that you talked about having one devoted to how you act as a student teacher. I should think that would be a really hot topic. I mean, as you say, you get your degree, and I know you student teach, but then all of a sudden, bang, you're in the classroom. I think one of the tips was get to know the janitorial staff and the cafeteria workers immediately, because they will be your best friends.
Yes. The school secretaries, I left them off the list, which it's a cardinal sin. I shouldn't have done that. But your school secretaries, your custodians, your janitors, those are the people, whenever you need something for your classroom, those are the people who it's good to have a great relationship with. But once again, those are things that you don't really learn about in college, but it is vital as far as a new teacher goes.
These are survival skills.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's basically, in your first year of teaching, it kind of feels like survival, because not only have you graduated with a four-year degree and you feel like you should be treated as a professional, but in Kentucky, you also have to do your KTIP year, which is your internship year, which is basically, it feels like another college class, a year-long college class, because you're submitting lesson plans, you're getting observed. Even though you've done all this in college, it's kind of overwhelming. And then new teachers are asked to take on so many things their first year. The interview I did with Dr. Susan Eddington of Murray State, we get into really get into in-depth about the student teaching experience and what new teachers are asked to do.
And what other experts have you featured so far?
Well, we have spoken with Stephen Scott. He is the CEO of Loris Enterprises. He's also a former instructor of the Royal Australian Air Force. We did an episode about what is a leader, and I thought there is no better person to talk to than someone who has led a military unit as far as being a leader goes. Let's see. We've talked to the 2015 Minnesota National Distinguished Principal Award winner. His name is Mark French. He's the principal who cooks, and he talks about the way that he goes and cooks for families in his school to build relationships. Let's see here. Who else do we have? We have Silas Matcham. He's the director of the RISE program in Madisonville, about the cultural divide. We've talked to Christy Saint. She's our principal at Pride Avenue. And we talked to Laura Watkins. She is a veteran teacher and the most organized person I know. And we have, actually, I confirmed a couple more interviews today that are so exciting. We have an award-winning author, Terry Long. She wrote the book In Leah's Wake. She's going to be talking about the issues students face outside of the classroom that teachers need to be aware of and kind of keep an eye out for. And we also have Dr. Cindy Burnett. She is the assistant professor at the International Center for Studies and Creativity at Buffalo State. She will be discussing introducing creativity into your classroom. Teresa Stager. She's another principal from around the country. Becky Inch, she is a principal in Illinois. I mean, just all these people that are so willing to come on and help and be a part of this.
So let's remind our listeners as we wrap up, Stephen, that you, Stephen Bauer, are a fourth grade teacher. You're in the trenches at Pride Avenue School in Madisonville, and you have put online these services for those in the teaching profession, and I would think parents would be interested in them as well. There's at facebook.com, Edvice Podcast, EDVICEPODCAST, or online at advicepodcast.com. How long do you think you can sustain this service?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, because as I was trying to gather ideas for topics, more and more and more kept popping up, just things that you don't really think about. So far, I have about 30 scheduled topics, and more rolling in every day from people that are giving suggestions. And that is something that I would like to say, if you don't mind. If people go to the website, there's a contact form. If there is something that a new teacher or a college student, an aspiring teacher, would have more questions about and would really like to hear discussed, then by all means, give us a yell, give us a shout, and we will do everything we can to accommodate that.
And I gather that you are getting robust response already.
Yes, ma'am. There are people who are sharing the blogs, and there are people who are messaging and thanking. And so far, just in this, we've only been going about 10 days, we have around 600 downloads of those first 10 or 11 episodes in just 10 days. So people are listening, and, you know, the first question people ask me is, what class are you doing this for? And this isn't for a class. This isn't for money. This is for everyone. So it's everybody's podcast, basically.
Stephen, thank you very much for speaking with me today, and congratulations to you.
Oh, great. Thank you, and thank you for having me.
This is WKMS. Our channels and web service are part of the educational mission of Murray State.